So we've been reading this portion in Mark's Gospel, chapter 9, about this young lad who was brought by his father, first of all to the disciples of Jesus, to be helped and delivered, but they failed, and then at last he brought him to Jesus, who powerfully delivered him. So we have an interesting account here. The lad is a child. It says there, the father of the child cried out. And so while he's not a baby and he's able to walk and he should be talking, he has a dumb spirit, he's not able to. He's not a child in the sense that he's an infant, but he's not marriage, but he is either, we don't think. Just a young lad, a young fella, perhaps a teenager, maybe even younger than that, we don't know. But that child is the battleground that's taking place here. It's a real battleground. And you know, brothers and sisters, there's a battle for our children. We must never forget that. There's a battle for boys and girls. There's a battle for those that we teach. And we must never forget that there is a battleground. And this young lad is that battleground. The devil is battling upon him and in him, and through him, and with him. He's a young lad in bondage. We read there in verse 17, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. Now, it's not just that he's dumb. We know that there are physical maladies whereby children are not able to speak. But this father realizes that this has been caused by a foul spirit, by a devil. And sometimes that happens. Sometimes the devil can physically attack us and assault us and affect the body and as well as the mind. And the father realizes that this is satanic. And he's not deluded in that regard, because Jesus treats it as a satanic possession. And Jesus rebukes the devil and calls the devil to come out of him. So he's quite right, the father, in his diagnosis of the problem here. The devil has a hand in this child's life. And that's true of boys and girls, and of our children. And our young people in this day and age, brethren and sisters, there's a battle for their souls. And the devil's tearing them about, and they're going about wild and mad because of the God of this world, who's blinding them, controlling them. I'm not saying that all our young people are possessed, but you know what I'm saying. He works on the mind. He works in their lives. He brings so many stirs and trials and temptations before them. And that's a real thing. And the devil starts early. The Lord Jesus asked this father, how long is it ago since this came to him? And the father could say, of a child. Since he was little. Since he was a baby. Since he was very tiny. The devil starts early. He starts early. That's why we have to start early with the children and the instruction and in Sunday school and the children's meeting. We start early. The devil starts early. His battle for the souls of the children starts early. He begins when they're just born. He doesn't waste any time of a child. It's been from his being a child. And you can see the terrible bondage that this child's going through. He takes these fits, he's torn by the devil, he foams at the mouth, he gnashes with the teeth, he pines away. And sometimes the devil tries to harm him. It's interesting here in verse 20, whenever they brought him on to Jesus, that whenever the child saw the Lord Jesus, the spirit tore the child. And the battle intensified as the child was being brought to Jesus Christ. And as the child was beginning to see Jesus Christ, the spirit kind of realized that. And there was an intensification of the battle. And the spirit tore him, and he threw him to the ground, and he wallowed foaming, because the spirit was trying to keep him from Christ. He was endeavoring to do that. And we must recognize that there's a warfare, and the devil's endeavoring to keep the children from Christ. He calls them to be distracted. He calls them to wallow as it were and fall on the ground. He put things in their mind and in their way. And we have to recognize this warfare. It's a warfare. And whenever we're getting the children in, we might get them in, but there'll be a warfare even in the meeting. The devil may come in with them. But some of them, you know, sometimes we have rowdy children and troubled children, and they have troublesome meetings sometimes. Well, why is that? Because the devil's present. He's disruptive. He's hindering. And so there's a battle. And this young lad's in the middle of the battlefield. But not only is the devil battling for this child, his father's battling for him too, isn't he? There's this burdened father. And he's fighting to get the child delivered. He's bringing him to the disciples. And then at last he's bringing him to Jesus. He's concerned for the child. He wants to win the child. He wants to get the child delivered and set free. And that's a good thing, to be a burdened father. And it's a good thing to be a burdened children's worker as well, isn't it? It's a good thing to be a burdened Sunday school teacher. And just burdened Christian workers. Burden for the deliverance of the children, the boys and girls, and all of those who are in bondage. We are often, as it were, critical of sinners. And we talk about their lifestyle, and we run down their lifestyle, and it's not to be praised. And there are times when that must be done, when they have to be condemned and told. But we still have to remember they need delivered as well. And while we have a justice about us, we also should have a compassion about us as well, and a concern, and want to see them delivered, and not forget that they're under the tyranny and the bondage of the devil. So there's a burdened father here in the battlefield, battling for his son, battling for his child, and we have to battle for our children that we teach, and this week a mission, and have to battle for them in prayer. So a burdened father. But there's something else here. Whenever the disciples are brought into the strength, the father, you see, brings the child to the disciples. And now they've come into the battlefield. And what do they find? They find they're helpless. They find that they can't do anything. Well, what does the father say? I spake to thy disciples that they should cast them out, and they could. They could not. And so the disciples, I don't know what they tried to do. They maybe prayed over the child. They maybe said some words over the child. They maybe give some advice to the child. I don't know what they tried to do. Maybe they laid their hands on the child, but I'm not sure what they've done. But whatever they did, it was useless. They couldn't cast them out. They couldn't set the child free. And so they were doing their best and they were battling away. But at the end of the day, they were powerless. And they even come to admit it. They said that at the end of the day, when they come to the Lord Jesus about this whole matter, they spoke to the Savior, and they said, why couldn't we cast him out? Why could they not do it? And the Lord said an interesting word in verse 29. He says, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. And we're really helpless. And brothers and sisters, we have to acknowledge our powerlessness, and we have to realize that our gifts, whatever they might be, they're just not sufficient in the battle to win souls and to gain the new life of the child. And it's only the Lord can do it. And we just have to pray, and we just have to bring him to the Lord, bring the child and the children to the Lord. So they're helpless saints on the battlefield, and that's, we often feel like that. We just feel helpless to see the world and the state that it's in. To see that we're losing ground, to see that the momentum of immorality is just intensifying, and we can do nothing. And all we can do is cry unto God. But that's not the end of the story. There comes onto the field the Lord Jesus Christ, the captain of our salvation. And whenever he comes into the battle, into the field, it's a different story. So at last the Father brought him Christ. The devil had a last throw, but the Savior won the day, and he won the victory. We read there in verse 25, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And that's very important, that enter no more into him. You know, it's one thing to see the spirit coming out of his head. But it's another thing to ensure he doesn't go back into the child. And that's true conversion. That's true conversion. There's a kind of a work and activity and a motive thing whereby the spirit might leave for a wee while. And he comes back again. And he finds is it all smacked up and a wee bit of work is going on, but it hasn't been a real Holy Ghost work. Come back again. And he's brought other five spirits with him. And the worst, that child's worse than ever before. And sometimes we see that. We see that children that make professions and then they turn out worse than ever. And the day is bad as any. But the Lord said to this five spirit, you come out of him and don't go back into him. And that's the kind of changes we need, isn't it? The Lord deliver them quickly and fully. And that's what the Savior is. He's a mighty deliverer. And the child fell as dead, and the Lord Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. It's just a beautiful picture and how gentle and tender the Lord deals with him there on this battlefield. And this poor soul, at last he's seen as set free by Jesus Christ. That's the only answer. This mission that we're going into and the work amongst the boys and girls, that's what we really need, isn't it? The Savior to come onto the field and to set them free, to work in their hearts. So let's pray that. Let's be like this, Father, and just bring the children to Jesus. Bring them to Jesus. So let's pray now and just seek the Lord.